Okay. Well, you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. What a fun morning we've had. If lunch was ready, we'd just go downstairs right now. No, we wouldn't? Kathy says, no, we wouldn't. We have been speaking for the last number of weeks and for the rest of the summer about the glorious church of Jesus Christ. Jesus has a vision for His people called the church. And it's a great vision. It's the best vision. And it's the best group of people to be part of. And every one of us should enjoy being a member of the church. And everyone who's not a member of the church should be thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to get into this crowd. Because God has an incredible vision for His people. We've looked at the scriptures that talk about the vision of Christ for His church to be one body. To be a people who display His glory. To be a people who are called out. A multi-ethnic, borderless, defended, inhabited by God people. And we're a people that are God's household of encouragement. The glorious church of Jesus. By the way, I forgot to mention Charlie and Judy Whitley are at Langley, where Charlie's preaching at the Langley Church this morning. And this morning, we're looking at Christ's church that abides in Him, or as the New International Version says, remains in Him. Christ's church who remains and produces fruit. And we look in John chapter 15 now at the story of Jesus comparing His church to a vine. The church is such a great place, I wish everybody, even the boys outside, would want to be in it. Ah, that's wonderful. If one of the ushers could just do us a favor and help the ones who are... Thank you. Somebody's gone. Sorry, I get very distracted. If you're listening on tape, we have the windows open today and it's sunshine and there's some young men out there doing something. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe it's young girls. Guys always get the bad rap. Why is it? Why does everybody think it's the guys? Just because David Whitley did when he was a young kid. Like, right, David? We always knew it was you when you were young. Guys always get blamed for everything. All right. Preach it, he says. The church of Jesus that abides, that remains in Christ. What an incredible vision. We're going to read from John chapter 15. We'll refer to this passage quite a bit, a few other passages as well. And I want to share with you six reasons why every person in the world should want to be part of the church. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, this is Jesus speaking to His disciples, and He's teaching them about His church. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, or some translations might say abide in me. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and you remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. The glorious church of Jesus Christ remains in him. We have this incredible picture, and a famous passage, by the way, of Jesus comparing us to a garden, comparing us to a vine tender. And from this and a few other passages, there's lots that could be said. But today I just want to give you six reasons why everyone in the world should want to be part of the church. I don't mean just our congregation, but God's church worldwide that meets all over the world. God's church, his people that are part of Jesus. Jesus the head and his people the body. God's church, his household that he inhabits, that he dwells in. Why is it that everyone ought to be wanting to be part of his people? First of all, we see from verse 1 that his garden is tended by the master gardener, Father in heaven himself. My Father is the gardener, Jesus says. And Jesus compares his people to a garden of which he is the vine and his people are the branches bearing fruit from all directions. Father comes and tends to Jesus. Prunes back parts that maybe have blossomed and aren't fruitful anymore, but they'll blossom again. Takes away dead parts and throws it in the fire. Father comes and looks after. And if you're a member of God's church, you're tended by the master gardener. And that might remind you of maybe Fred and Deanna Harris. If you've ever seen their... Oh, there's Fred. If you've ever seen Fred's garden, it continues to grow until he has very little grass left and no weeds, but lots and lots of garden, lots and lots of flowers, and they seem to somehow always be blooming at the right times in the right places, and they're trimmed and they're pruned, and they just look great because there's some master gardeners at work in that garden. God's like that with his people. He's constantly working to see to it that we are productive, fruitful, beautiful, and that we're surrounded by others who are fruitful and productive. I know you're looking at me like, yeah, right. You're looking at me like, are you sure about that? That's what Jesus' vision is for his church. It's a good vision. And someday there's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess he's Lord. We're not there yet, but someday we will be. Someday every knee will bow and every tongue confess he is Lord. But right now, we have this incredible privilege of being part of his people and part of the life of Jesus, an extension of his growth. And God, the Father, the master gardener, is constantly tending to us, making us more beautiful, making us more productive, and seeing to it that we're surrounded by others who are like the same. In fact, if branches wither, they're picked up and thrown away and burned in the fire. If parts of us are unproductive, He prunes back that branch so that it will become productive again. Now, my wife, Tina, has three little geraniums in her windowsill above the sink, little clay pots about 4 inches high, and a little geranium. And they grow fairly tall till they almost tip the pot over, because the pots ought to be bigger, really. But right now, our windowsill has one geranium that's growing, and beside it is this one that I'm sure last week was growing, but right now it has one leaf, and everything else is chopped off to just this stalk. And the one beside it looks almost the same, just chopped down to a stalk. Why? How dare somebody do that to these plants? But the master gardener knows what she's doing, and they're going to bloom again. They already bloomed. They already withered. It was time to lose it, even though it was still a little bit flowery. Because Tina, the master gardener, is making those geraniums grow more. And if you go out our back door in the patio, there's a fairly new garden, because we're younger than Fred and Deanna. We haven't had as many years to work on it. But there's plants that were planted last year that are now, some of them in full bloom, some of them almost ready to bloom. And in the patio, on the patio table, is a whole bunch of those little plastic cups that you get from the garden store with these little plants growing out of it. And there's a big pile of dirt in a bag. And there's little spades and things. And all of these plants just came home a day or two ago, and they're going to get set out among the mature garden. But right now, they look great when they're watered, and they wither fast and wilt when the sun comes out. We almost lost them yesterday in the hot sun. That's how God's church is. There's new seedlings that are put out. There's new plants that are put in. And they're mixed in among the rest of us. And then the rest of us, there's some that are blooming right now. There's some that are about to bloom. And there's some that are being pruned back right now. So you look like that geranium. But the master gardener knows what he's doing. And someday, the garden will look like Fred and Deanna's. He knows what he's up to. We're tended by the master gardener. The second reason that every person in the world should want to be part of the church is not only what we do, but what he does. Christ remains. Look at verse 4. Jesus said, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." He never leaves us and never forsakes us. He promises, "You remain in me, and I'll remain in you." And he's comparing us to plants. If you have a plant in a garden, and it remains in the soil, it will be nourished by the soil. If you have a branch on a bush, and it remains on the branch, the sap will flow out and life will come to the branch. And Jesus promises that just like plants, if you stay attached to him, you'll stay full of his life. He'll keep flowing through you. That's an incredible promise. If you remain with Jesus, he promises he'll remain with you. Number 3. If you remain with him, there's guaranteed fruit. Look at verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing." Apart from the vine, there won't be fruit. Chopped off from the stalk, there won't be flowers. Cut off from Jesus, alone in my own little world, I won't be fruitful. I won't be productive. But the promise is that if you stay in Christ and he stays in you, you'll be productive. You'll be fruitful. Guaranteed fruit. Not just some, much fruit. This is his vision. If we stay in him and he in us, there will be much fruit. Apart from me, nothing. What is the fruit? You might know the familiar passage from Galatians chapter 5. And all of the New Testament describes it the same way. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Throughout the New Testament, the fruit of God is compared to the fruit of the devil. And it's always compared in relation to how we treat other people. God's fruit is seen in how we interact with other people. The fruit isn't described about how many times you read your Bible, or if you pray five times a day, or if you see visions. The fruit isn't described by what you've figured out, what you've envisioned, the plan that you have. The fruit is described by how we interact with people. Remember what we said last week? He's real, and he's about real life. God's interested in everyday life, at home, at work, at school. He's interested in the fruit of being connected to Jesus is seen by those people connected to Jesus relating to other people with love or peace or joy. This is how the church displays God. This is how the church is a body that has interacted together. Real people. Treating each other like Jesus treats people. Guaranteed fruit. Fruit that is about displaying his love towards people. If we remain in Christ and he remains in us, we will bear much fruit. Number four. Dependent upon Christ's life. The fruit is not dependent upon my life. The fruit is not dependent upon my ability. The fruit is dependent upon the life of Christ. People can even take a branch from one tree and graft it into an apple tree and watch it produce a different kind of fruit because it's been connected to that kind of a tree. If we are connected to Jesus, we bear his kind of fruit. If we're connected to the enemy, we bear his kind of fruit. And James says that you can't have the same kind of fruit coming out of the same mouth. So when we're connected to the source of Jesus, Jesus comes out of our mouth. Jesus comes out of our actions. How is it that we stay remaining in him? How do we continue to be abiding in him? We'll get to that in a moment. But we must first start by understanding that the life isn't dependent upon my ability. The life isn't dependent upon my skill. The fruit isn't dependent upon me. It comes from the life of Jesus. So if you look at the geraniums on my windowsill, there might be a little branch that comes out, and out of that little branch comes a flower. That would be the fruit. That flower is not dependent on the little branch that it's attached to. It's dependent upon the DNA, the genetic code of the whole plant in the soil that it is. It's dependent upon the nourishment that's coming up and through it. Children do not look like they do because they in and of themselves are independent. They look like they do because they have the DNA of their parents. And so you look this morning at all the children up here and you can see which ones are the poulters. They just look like a poulter, don't they? And you can see which ones are the viscers. They just look like the viscers. And you can see which ones are the Ogundaris, because they just look like them. Children carry the genetic makeup of their parents. And Jesus is saying the same thing here. Because we're plugged into Him, and because He is peace and love and life and joy, then if we're plugged into Him, that's what comes out of us. If you take a hose and you attach it up to the hot water tank and you turn it on for the swimming pool, you'll get nice warm water for your kids to play in. By the way, moms, if you didn't know that and your kids are always cold in the swimming pool, just take it down to the basement and screw it onto the bottom of your tank and you'll have warm water for your kids. There you go. How many moms are going to run up your utility bill this summer? But if you take the hose and you just put it onto the outside faucet and you turn it on, it's going to be cold water because of the source that it's connected to. And if you take a human being and you connect it to the source that we've always been in our fallen nature, we look like the world around us. But if we cut off from the world around us and we reconnect to the source of Jesus, His life comes out of us. This is the picture we have with the vine and the branches. That the source is Jesus. The fruit isn't dependent on you and I. We're just conduits. We're just a display. We're just who the life flows through. And God has this incredible plan for His church to display Him, because they're connected to Him and His life is displaying through them to the world. Every person ought to want to be part of the church. Because every person is well aware that their own sources run out from time to time. Sometimes you have a good month or a good 3 years, but then you go through the doldrums. Sometimes you have a good week, but then for no reason whatsoever, you wake up one day and you don't have any joy. Your sources run out. But the life of Jesus never runs out. The life of Jesus never has a glitch. It never has contamination. It's always pure. It never gets polluted. It never gets depleted. The life of Christ is consistently constant and enough. He always supplies all that is needed all the time. And when we live dependent on Christ, we can live with the joy and the confidence of knowing the supply is not going to run out. So much for that, so that Jesus told His disciples, hey, if you're brought in a time of persecution before the rulers or the judges or the authorities who are going to condemn you, Jesus told His disciples, don't worry about what you're going to say, because at the right time, you'll be given the words to say. What a promise. What confidence we have. Don't study up for the exam before you get in front of the judges. Always be prepared to share the hope and the reason for your faith in Christ. At the time you need it, you'll be given what you need. Trust in His source of life. So we should want to be part of the church, because then you're part of Master Gardener tending you. Because Christ remains with you. Because you're guaranteed to produce fruit. Because the fruit is dependent on Him and not you. And it causes you to ask, how do I remain in Him? What if I don't remain in Him and I wither? What if I'm really blossoming and then I don't remain in Him and I start to wither and die? How do I keep that from happening? How do I stay close to Jesus? How do I remain in His presence? And that brings me to the fifth reason why you should want to be part of the church. Because remaining in Him is dependent on obedience. Look at verse 10. This is good news. This is really, really good news. If you obey My commands, you will remain in My love, just as I have obeyed My Father's commands and remain in His love. And just to give you faith, you better read verse 11. I told you this so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. Why is Jesus telling us this good news about obey? So that you can have joy. Complete joy. So that His joy will flood your life. And His joy will be enough for you. And you'll be made complete in His joy. Think about it. This is good, good news. This is the reason that everybody ought to want to be a member of the church. Because remaining in Jesus, having His life abide in you, is only dependent on obeying Him. Only dependent on following Him. All you have to do is hold His hand and go where He goes. All you have to do is trust His instructions and you'll have life and you'll be fruitful. Think about the alternatives. I know, because our independence rebels against what we've just read, doesn't it? There's something in us that just rebels against the word obey. In fact, I know someone who took their children out of God's workshop because God's workshop had used the word obey. They stopped coming to our church because God's workshop had used the word obey. Can you imagine? Don't worry, they weren't one of us. They were watching, learning about us. And that was it. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell my 2-year-old what to do. I teach them to reason. I teach them to consult. I teach them to negotiate. But think about what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you want to have complete joy, remain in me. If you remain in me, you're going to bear fruit. And the way that you remain in me, the way that you always bear fruit, the way that you go through this process of being in Him and having the Father prune us when we need to be pruned and cut us back when we need to be cut back and give us a life when we need to be given life is through obedience. And that's good news because the alternative is like all the memberships of this world. All the other memberships, maybe you have to be wealthy enough to be a member of that country club. The church isn't dependent upon your money. Maybe you have to be a really good golfer to be part of that team. The church isn't dependent upon your skill. All He's asking is that you take His hand and follow. It's so different than other memberships. You don't have to be born smart to be a member of this. But the engineering club you do. But not the church. You can be a member even if you have a low IQ. You can be a member if you have learning disabilities. You can be a member if you're crippled. You can be a member if your health is giving out. You can be a member if you're as ugly as Derek. You don't have to attain a certain level before you can be accepted by the group. You're told to come in when you're needy, to come in when you're dirty, to come in and He will clean you up. What an incredible membership is that? The church is the best place in the world to be part of. You can enter at whatever point in life you are. And you might be here today and you might say, oh, I'm not good enough for those people. Well, just how good do you think Christians are? I mean, they're just a garden hose with the life of Jesus going through them. Some of the garden hoses are all brittle and crackly and they're starting to spurt water everywhere. Some of them are nice and shiny and clean. Others are full of contamination. And it still kind of comes out in bits and pieces out their mouth now and then with the life of Jesus. But it's going to get washed clean, don't you worry. The more His life flows through that hose, it's going to get washed out. It's going to get unplugged. And the good news is that all you have to do to remain is to follow Him, to obey. To stay with Him. But remember what the scripture teaches. The obeying that we're talking about is not just the old way of this written code, this law, that somehow you have to try to measure yourself, am I keeping the 10 rules? It's about a person named Jesus. It's more like yesterday when it was Juliana's 4th birthday. And mom says, hey, you want to go to the carousel at, what's the place? Burnaby Museum, Burnaby something Heritage Museum. Do you want to go to the carousel with your friend Sarah? Oh, yeah, mommy, let's go. What's she have to do? Juliana, come with me. We're going to go to the carousel. She has to obey. Juliana, put your shoes on. We're going to go to the carousel. She has to obey. Juliana, come get in your car seat and put your seatbelt on. She has to obey. And she wants to because her joy is full. Her joy is complete. Her little horsey goes up and down and up and down and up and down. Juliana, it's time for cake. You need to come in and take off your shoes. Okay, Mom. Juliana, it's time for cake. You need to come and sit up in this chair. Okay, Mom. That's how God is with us. I've got life and life abundantly, says Jesus. Great. Where are we going? Follow me. Yeah, but what if it doesn't match up with my plans? I mean, I was going to go jump on the trampoline today. What? I told you I've got life and life abundantly. It's so easy. Membership in His church is about following Him. Yes, we have to surrender, and that's not easy because we've got this wickedness inside that doesn't want to surrender. But when we do, Jesus says, your joy is complete. We can abide in Him, Jesus, the one who Himself is growing as His body grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. And as the Father, the Master Gardener, tends to us, He'll sometimes take a branch and retrain it because He wants it to grow this way. He might even tie it back and you might feel held back by something that you really wanted to do. But God is making you beautiful as He trains your vine. Don't worry. If you're remaining in Him, His life is going to blossom out of you. Our job is to surrender. Think about the song that Mike led us in today. Burden down, Lord, since I've laid my burden down, since I've surrendered, since I've let go of my own self, I'm just rejoicing. I'm just feeling like singing. I just feel like dancing. I just feel like doing everything, whatever that song said. Why? Because I laid down me and I just experienced His life. That's a great song. And don't forget, the last reason is the most important. Why should we want to be part of this church? Why should we want to be part of His people? Because we belong to Christ Himself. In Romans chapter 7, verse 4, Paul puts it this way. Romans 7, verse 4. My brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to Him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. What's this about? He's saying, church, don't forget, you died to the law through Christ's body so that you might belong to Jesus, so that you might be fruitful. And this is the passage where Paul is talking about remarriage. He's talking about a woman who was married first, and then the husband died, and got remarried again. And he's saying, just like that, yes, you were once only married to the law of God. But that law was like the ultra perfection, perfect husband. Who really is perfect. Not just one that thinks he is like most of us, but who really is perfect. The ultra perfect husband without any flaws is God's law. But every time you're beside him, this woman felt judged, critiqued, couldn't measure up, never made the bar, and the husband never did anything to help her. And Paul says that's how it used to be like. This is Romans chapter 7 paraphrased. But now, that's no longer how it is. Jesus' death has separated you. You have been put to death to that husband. And now, as the bride of Christ, you're married to Jesus. And then in this relationship with Jesus, he is the perfect husband. He is without flaw. He's without blemish. But he constantly is laying down his life to supply you what is needed. He's constantly coming under to fill you with his life. Which is back to the picture we have in John chapter 15. The vine and the branches. It's not about the branches and the flowers and the fruit things out on the end trying to think, oh no, how can I do all the right things in the law so that I don't get chopped off? It's not about that. It's about a new relationship that is no longer like that. But now it's a relationship that you're actually married to Jesus, the one who supplies you and fills you and gives his life. And it's constantly supplying your needs so that you can bear fruit. What an incredible picture. How incredible it is to be married to Jesus. He alone is life, has life, supplies life. He alone can cause us to bear fruit. He alone lays down his life again and again to give us what we need to look like him. Everybody ought to want to be part of the church. Everybody ought to want God the Father to be a master gardener who trains them, directs them, ties them back, cuts off things that aren't fruitful. Everybody ought to want to be one in whom Christ remains and never leaves them. Everyone ought to want to have guaranteed fruit. Everyone ought to know that the fruit's dependent upon Jesus' life, not their own. And that staying in Christ, remaining in him, is dependent on simply following him and obeying him. And everybody ought to want to be the bride of Christ, married to a husband like him, who lays down his life for us again and again. Wouldn't it be great if the whole world was there? Jesus said, someday, every knee will bow. Someday, every tongue will confess, he's the Lord. Some will acknowledge it on their way to hell. And they'll say, yep, he's in charge and I've missed his grace. Others will acknowledge it because they've come to surrender and not my will, but your will be done, to live for him. Everyone here this morning should want to be part of his church. And if you're not part of his people, you can be. Believe in Jesus. Give him control of your life and begin to drink with your roots planted in his soil. Begin to drink with your life stuck onto his vine. Begin to live out his abundance. God bless us all. Derek?
If we could get the worship team up here. You know, We come Sunday mornings, and I often come with assumptions, but God has just prompted me. I don't want to assume. If there is anybody here this morning that has not made that confession, Dave reminded us that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And that is the most important confession that we can make. And it's important that we make it before that day, before we die. So if anybody has not made that confession and you've been spoken to this morning and you want to commit your life to Christ, then I just encourage you to come forward. We have a prayer team here and we want to pray with you. I'm so encouraged by Dave's word. Can we all say this after me? I belong. Can you say that? I belong. We belong in the body of Christ. That is so exciting. We have a prayer team. And if any of you, God cares about every need that we have, whether it's a physical need, you need healing, we want to pray for you. Financial need, we want to pray for you. Emotional, spiritual need, we want to pray for you. So we just want to encourage you to, if you need any kind of prayer, please come up. We have a prayer team ready to pray for you. And if we could carry our conversations downstairs or outside, there's a wonderful lunch that is made for us. Only $2 a person. Very reasonable. So we encourage you all to stay. All right. Let's stand, and I think the worship team has a closing song for us.